Welcome to the Finding Grace in the Wilderness podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Hawkins. Here each week, we will share stories about how God's grace can be found during life's most difficult circumstances. Meet with me around the table as we chat with others who have found that God's faithfulness never ends. We will share truth and life and discuss faith, fears, struggles, and victories. Join us as we seek to grow deeper in relationship with Jesus, the one who makes a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Hi, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. My dear friend, Linda Bice, is with us today. Linda is a mom. She is an assistant teacher for release time at Liberty Middle School here in South Carolina. Her summer job is working at the Y with the kids, and I know that's a really busy and fun time. She's a teacher of children's church at the church she attends, which is Calumet Baptist Church in Liberty. She is also the leader of our Grace in the Wilderness support group for caregivers called Wings of Hope. And Linda was a model for many years, and she taught modeling for 20 years. So she has an incredible testimony. She and I have been friends for more than 15 years, and she is precious, and I know you're going to love her just the way I do, and I'm going to turn it over to you. Welcome, welcome. We're so glad you're here.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited. It's awesome to be here.
Well, this has been something that I've wanted to do, was to interview you. I know I've heard your story, and I know others have heard your story. You've been on Channel 16 and some of the other broadcasts that you've shared this. But I wanted you to share it with our listeners today.
Okay.
You can start anywhere you want. You could start when you came to know Jesus. But please share about how you found God's grace in the wilderness.
As a matter of fact, when I was driving here, I literally, Google Maps took me on a little adventure.
Yeah, like, we're in Dacusville.
Yeah. So the cool thing is it took me down Elgin Road. And I got to ride by Elgin Baptist Church, was where I got saved when I was 6 years old, 1964.
Wow.
So that was so cool to actually see that church after all these years on my way here. So that was, That was awesome. And that is literally where my Christian journey began.
Awesome.
And it's been a long journey. But God has taken me through so many life adventures. And so many ups and downs, as most people do. Mm-hmm. And I can't even begin to imagine going through what our family went through and what we still go through without Christ. I mean, it blows my mind to think of all the stuff that He literally has carried us through, things that we needed or things that needed to be done when nobody else knew what we needed or what needed to be done, and God literally would work things out single time. Yeah, it doesn't matter who knows, God knows.
Mm-hmm.
And He takes care of everything, down to the details. I always say, right down to the sweet tea. In 2006, my husband, who was who we thought was in perfect health, had a massive heart attack. And that was on March 25th, 2006. And as a matter of fact, it was the only time in our family that myself, my husband, and our son were in three separate places. And I was on a church retreat with the ladies from our church, and we were in Pigeon Forge. My husband was home, and our son was at my sister and her husband's going on his first turkey hunting trip. And he called me. Well, it's when we had Nextel walkie-talkies. So he beeped me about 2:30 in the afternoon. And he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm sitting on the church bus watching it snow." It was our first snow I had seen that year. And I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I don't feel good." And in all of our years of marriage, I'd never heard him say, "I don't feel good." And I said, "What do you mean you don't feel good?" And he said, "My stomach hurts." And I said, "Well, ask, you know, the simple questions, you know, what have you eaten and all stuff." And then I said, "Well, maybe you should drive to the Exigen Center," because this was a Saturday. And he said, "I don't think I can drive." So I was like, "You don't what?" You know, I knew something was bad wrong. So I said, we all had Nextel walkie-talkies, the whole family, aunts, uncles, everybody. And I said, "You beep Dave and you tell him to come and get you, take you to the Exigen Center." So about 10 minutes later, I get a beep from Dave saying, I'm taking him to the hospital. And I said, I thought you were going to the exercise center. He goes, when I got here, he was gray. So we definitely knew something was wrong. So we rushed him to the hospital, and indeed, he was having a massive heart attack, what they call the widowmaker.
Oh,
and so they did a stent that night to keep him alive, then took him to CCU. And the next few days, he was there, but by Wednesday, that was on Saturday, so by Wednesday, they were going to do open-heart surgery. When they did the test, he had one, his main artery was 100% blocked. Every other artery was 88 to 98% blocked.
Oh,
so that morning at 5 o'clock, our son and I arrived at the hospital because they were going to let us see him before the surgery. The nurse is coming down the hall when we got to the CCU unit, and she just shook her head no. And she said, I'm so sorry, he's not going to make it. So we're not doing the surgery. So it was devastating, to say the least. They did let us see him for about 5 minutes, and we had to go back into the waiting room. I got on the phone to his radio, and they literally stopped what they were doing and requested for everybody to start praying. Sorry.
Yeah.
And within 10 minutes, the nurse came to the door, and she said, Dr. Wright just called down here and said to get him on up there anyway. They were going to try. There's a miracle right there. They took him up. The surgery lasted like all day, you know. And then within 2 weeks, he was out of the hospital. And I took him back for his first checkup 2 weeks after he got out of the hospital. And the doctor's checking him over, and everything looks great. And my husband was always joked with the doctor, and he said, so are you going to let me go back to work? And he said, man, you've just been out of the hospital 2 weeks. And he said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. Until you sign this release form for me to go back to work, I'll just come up here and hang out with you every day. And so the doctor looked at him and shook his head, and he goes, you know who you remind me of? And my husband was like, who? And he goes, me. He's like, give me the paper. Yeah. So he signed it. David went back to work and did awesome. That heart attack was on March 25th. Well, fast forward to Christmas morning, 2006, exactly 9 months to the day. On Christmas morning at 2:30, David went into cardiac arrest. And I immediately woke up. I know it was God that woke me up, because I woke up, sat straight up in the bed, looked over at him, and I knew something was wrong. And I just reached over and hit speakerphone 911. And as I'm giving the operator all of the information, he literally stopped breathing. So I literally started CPR right then. Mm-hmm. And our son was 13 at the time. So as I'm doing CPR, when I would do the chest compressions, I was screaming out Trammell's name. He was down the hall. And bless his heart, he thought I was waking him up for Christmas, because it was Christmas morning. And so he runs down the hall, and he sees me in there working on his dad. And I said, run downstairs, open up the door. Something's wrong with Dad. EMS is on their way. So he did all that. He came back up, picked up the receiver, and starts talking to the 911 operator and telling her what's going on. No panic, no nothing. Mm-hmm. He knew what to do. They got him to the hospital, and the doctor came in about 45 minutes later and just said, you know, he's not going to make it. We're putting him on life support so you can spend a little time. And I still believe that it was because it was Christmas morning that the doctor did that. And so a few days later, they turned it off, and he started breathing on his own.
Wow. So, I'm sure a lot of people were praying.
Oh, girl, yeah. Again. We had so many people praying. And all the people, his radio, and they were requesting prayer. And the doctor stood at the foot of his bed after they ended up disconnecting him from life support, and he's breathing on his own. The doctor stood at the foot of his bed and said, I want y'all all to know this has nothing to do with us. This is God. And for a doctor to stand there and say that, that was, yeah, so awesome. The heartbreaking thing was that he was dead for so long that he had severe brain damage. As I always put it, God took my husband but gave me a precious 6-foot baby boy. Mm-hmm. And he was in diapers, drank with a baby bottle, played with toys. I mean, he was literally my infant child. And when we brought him home, it was to in the doctors, you know, nurses, their minds, he might last a month or two. And he survived for 11 years and 3 months. So what I was talking about, the sweet tea, one night shortly after we had gotten home from the hospital, I go upstairs and I go to bed. I get everything done. I lay down in the bed and I'm like, oh, forgot to make tea. We always kept tea in the refrigerator. And I'm laying there and it's like about 9 o'clock at night. And I'm thinking, oh, I'll just make some when I get up in the morning. So about that time, the doorbell rang. And I'm thinking, oh, who's at my door at 9 o'clock at night? So I go downstairs and I look out and I'm like, that's our preacher's daughter. So I open up the door and it was their two daughters. And the first thing they handed me was a gallon of tea each. They each had a gallon of tea. And I'm like, what are y'all doing? And she said, we had a youth meeting at the church and we brought y'all the leftover tea and leftover sandwiches. So when I joke about, you know, God covers everything right down to the sweet tea, he does. I mean, he does over and over again.
And that was just the beginning.
That was just the beginning. Right? Yeah. Oh, so many times. Oh, our journey, we thought that was the worst thing that we were going to go through, was what we were living through out then, because it turns your whole life upside down. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I could... Of course, we had no insurance at that time, too. That was another thing that happened. We were in the middle of changing insurance. We had not gotten our new health insurance. So there we were left with mounds and mounds of hospital bills. So about a year after that happened was 1 year and 2 months. And God worked so many things out during that year. God even allowed us, going through what we were going through, to save a family of six from being homeless. And get them a new van.
Wow.
And a new place to live, furnished with everything that you would... That was by the next Christmas, all this was going on. So that was a miracle in itself right there, for God to work through us, going through what we were going through, to change this family of six, their entire existence. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, we ended up helping them get into a Habitat for Humanity house.
Wow.
So they actually own their own home now.
That's wonderful.
And, 2 months after that, on Super Bowl Sunday, and my son, I always say, my son, my hero, I don't even know what we would have done without everything that he did.
He was 14.
He was 14 when that happened. He was 13 when that happened to his dad, and now he's 14, and it's 2 months after we helped this family. It's Super Bowl Sunday of 08. It was February the 3rd. I'm in my husband's bedroom changing his diaper. Changing his clothes, you know, stuff. And just like you do an infant, you know, I'm taking care of him. And my son is in his game room. He was outside playing with some of his buddies. He comes in and he's in his game room cleaning it up because they were going to come and watch the Super Bowl. Well, all of a sudden I'm hearing him, Mom! And you can tell your child when they're like just Mom or either mm-hmm. something's really bad wrong. And I'm yelling back, you know, how you doing in the house? And I'm changing my husband's diaper. And I'm like, what is it? And he goes, my back. And I said, did you hurt it? He goes, no, it just hurts. And I said, well, hang on, and I'll get you some Tylenol. Never dreaming in a million years what was happening. By the time I got the diaper changed, I go to him. He's in the floor, and he's like, I can't feel my legs. So get him to the hospital. They immediately get an ambulance, send him to MUSC. And by this time, it's about dusk, and this is before GPS and all this. The ambulance has taken him to MUSC. I'm downtown Charleston. I have no idea where I'm at. I'm sitting at a red light. It's getting dark, and I just pray, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. And then all of a sudden, this lady pulls up beside me. For some reason, I rolled the window down. Tooted the horn, and she looked over at me, and I said, she could tell something was wrong. And I said, my son's been paralyzed. They've taken him to MUSC, and I don't know how to get there. And she says, follow me. She literally drove and led me to the emergency room door.
Wow.
Yeah.
God sent you an angel.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah, I always say he sent me an angel.
That's awesome.
So we spent about a week and a half in MUSC. And there was nothing they could do. You know, they diagnosed him with acute transverse myelitis. And they're like, there is no cure. He will spend the rest of his life in a wheelchair. And of course, as a mom, you're like, no. And the really awesome thing was, it was kind of cute because we used to watch House. And Trammell kept saying, that was my son's, that's our son's name. And he would say, Mom, this is just like House. Because they had this team of doctors trying to figure out what in the world makes a perfectly healthy 14-year-old paralyzed within 5 minutes. One time, one of the doctors walked, because they were in and out all the time, and we spent hours in the ER. If anybody's been to the ER, they know how that goes. So one of the doctors comes in, and he goes, you know, we're all talking about you guys out there. And we're like, really? And he said, yeah. And he looked at Trammell. He said, son, you know you're paralyzed. And he was like, yes, sir. Trammell's watching the Super Bowl. He's got the remote control, and he's like, and he goes, and I see the condition of your dad, because they had been bringing me diapers and stuff to take care of my husband. And he said, I see the condition your dad's in. And he said, what we can't understand is how we walk in here and what we feel is peace. He said, we can't get over how it feels when we walk in here. It's just peace. We literally cannot explain it. And I looked at Trammell. I said, Trammell, tell him who's in charge. And Trammell's 14 years old. He looked at that doctor and he said, God is. God's in charge. Yeah, even at that early age, he knew. Wow. Even going through what he had already gone through and now is, you know, going through. We were told by MUSC he'd never walk. I used to volunteer at Shriners in Greenville. They couldn't help us. They said, there is no cure. He will not walk. They got me in touch with Shriners in Philadelphia, the spine hospital. And Shriners flew all three of us up there. We were there for a month in one hospital room. And one nurse called me out one day and she said, I need to have a talk with you, Miss Bice. And I said, okay. And so I got there and she goes, I keep hearing you talk about you're praying for recovery and that your son's going to walk again. And she said, I need for you to understand something. Your son will never walk again. There is no cure. And until you accept that, your son's not going to accept it. And I said, you know what? I hope he never accepts it, because I know that one day God's going to let him walk. Well, by the end of that week, he made hospital history, being the first acute transverse myelitis patient that hospital had ever had to be able to stand up. And he wasn't walking, but he was moving his feet. Everybody was amazed. They made braces for his legs. Two of the nurses even took him down to a local shoe store and bought shoes for him. And they were bringing doctors and nurses and students through there to show and to introduce them and tell Trammell's story. But the awesome thing was they let me share our testimony.
That's wonderful.
For all these people. And so many of them walked out of there with tears in their eyes. And one group left one day and Trammell looked at me and he said, you know what, Mom? And I said, what? He goes, if one person's life is changed by what we're going through, it's worth it. And yeah, it was like, wow. So we were there for a month and we flew home and started our new life again. We got a handicap apartment. Our family was like, you need to be up here. And so we found a handicap apartment in Easley, as a matter of fact. And our vehicle was, back then, it was SUV, so it was real high. As a matter of fact, when we left Charleston, they got the police department to send five officers to help put Trammell up into the vehicle.
Wow.
So they were really, because there was no lift team. It was a Saturday when we left, so there was no lift team there. As we drove back to the upstate, my sister had come down and gotten my husband. And so they were taking care of him until I could get Trammell back up here. And Trammell had been wanting a iPhone ever since they had come out. Every birthday, every Christmas. And all he heard was, no, I'm not, you know, there's no iPhone. I'm not paying that much for a telephone and all this stuff. And back then, I didn't know what a smartphone was. So on our way back, I stopped in Greenville, pulled into the AT&T store, and left Trammell. Of course, I had to leave him in the vehicle. And I went in there, and I got the iPhone. And I got the holder and all this, you know, the stuff that went with it. And they had it in a little bag, and I go back out there, and I open up the door, and I hand it to Trammell. And now, see, he had been wanting this thing for like going on 2-3 years now. Mm-hmm. And so he opens it up and he looks in there and he looks at me and he goes, "So I had to become paralyzed before you give me the song." And I kind of joked and I said, "You know, I can take that right back in there." He goes, "No." So even going through all that, you know, his sense of humor has always kept me cracking up. He absolutely never gave up. He practiced and every day did his exercises, practiced walking. He went from the wheelchair to a walker, to Canadian crutches, and then to a cane. And it was so funny, that's back when he was watching House, and all the canes that I got him was the ones that House used. So I'd search for, you know, the canes that they were using on the show. But he was in the wheelchair for several years, and so it took about 8 years before he got to where he could balance. Mm-hmm. And one day he said, "I think I can walk without this cane." So now he is 32. He still can't feel his legs or feet. And he wears, you know, leg braces, but he walks. He has to have surgeries every now and then because the right foot is spastic and it literally will turn all the way around. Mm-hmm. And they have to do a surgery to where it'll come back around and fit into the brace. And it keeps horrible wounds on it, on that foot all the time.
Smart.
And the other foot is drop foot. So it's just, you know, like dead weight. But he never gives up. That child never gives up. And he has helped so many people. So so much happened. In 2012, my mom and dad passed away. 2013, our home was scammed from us. Took 2 years to get it back. In 2017, Trammell was blessed to get to go to Peru on a mission trip. And while there, they literally offered him a position as a missionary there. And he was thinking about doing that, but during the 10 days that he was gone, I was diagnosed with 2 brain tumors. So he comes back home with his dad still bedridden, and me being diagnosed with 2 brain tumors. I never saw that child fall apart until that day. I mean, and plus, something happened to him there, his health, because he was working himself so hard. He ended up in the doctor's office and being sent to a kidney specialist, mm-hmm. and had to go to a specialist for about over a year. But his health really got damaged there too. But he was such a light to those kids. What they were, the place that they were working during those 10 days was an orphanage for handicapped children in Peru. What better place for him, mm-hmm. to be ministering? But
wow.
Yeah, we got through that. 2018, April the 9th was a Tuesday. Everything was going, you know, I was taking care of my husband, and I got him up, and I would walk him, just like a child, you know, to the bathroom and sit him on the potty, let him sit there for a little bit. So I was doing that, and then all of a sudden he passed out. So I'm hollering for Trammell, and he comes in there, and he helps me. We get him cleaned up, and we get him back to the bed, and Trammell walks back to his room. And I'm getting David situated and covering him up. And then all of a sudden, and I knew what it was because this is exactly how our story started with him. He went into cardiac arrest. I knew what was happening when it hit. And I'm hollering for Trammell. I said, "Something's wrong with Dad. Something's wrong with Dad." So he runs back. I'm calling 911. Trammell's laying the bed down and starting CPR. And I'm on the phone. And it was the opposite from when it started, because the first time I'm doing CPR, and now this time he's doing CPR. Mm. So luckily there was a policeman that was right in that area, and he got there first, and I ran to the door, and I'm bringing him back down, and then shortly thereafter the EMS got there. And I run and open the door, and I remember walking back down the hall with them, and Trammell with all his might is doing CPR, trying to save his dad. And I always say that's the most heroic but heartbreaking thing I've ever seen, was him trying to save his dad. When the EMS guy got in there and took over, course, they pull back the cover and they see he's in a diaper. And he looked at Trammell. He said, "Is this your dad?" And he goes, "Yes, sir." And he goes, "How long has he been like that?" And Trammell said, 11 years. And he said, "If it was my dad, I'd let him go." So they stopped, you know. They didn't try to save him. It was like on Christmas morning 2006, I lost my husband. But at that moment, I lost my child. I was mourning as a mom who lost her baby. It was just devastation all over again. And we both know what that feels like. So it's been quite a journey.
Yes.
So after that, I gave our home to Trammell, our son. I couldn't give him anything else. So I gave him our home. And I started traveling. And God worked out so many things. Of course, every single detail. And I live with the fact that I can go blind at any moment. The miracle with the brain tumors, they're both benign. The only drawback is one sits right at the optic nerve. And if it even begins to grow, I go blind and there's no reverse. There's nothing they can do. They'll still have to do the surgery because that means the tumor's growing. But there would be no way I could get my sight back. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to start working on my bucket list. Mm-hmm. So I used to live on South Padre Island way back in the 80s. I love South Padre Island. And I am, as you know, I am addicted to sea turtles.
Oh, yes, I know.
I am totally and utterly obsessed with sea turtles. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember when that started. It's been my whole life as far as I can remember. And they have a sea turtle hospital there. So God worked it out to where I could go for 3 months and volunteer at the Sea Turtle Hospital. I mean, talk about working out every detail. The place that I ended up staying was a beautiful condo on the beach. The owners literally let me rent that for a fraction of what they could have gotten for it when she found out that that's what I was going to be doing. And they just charged me what they paid for utilities and stuff each month for the 3 months I was there. And she said, "I guess you know where the condo's located." And I went, "No, ma'am." And she goes, "It's right across the street from the Sea Turtle Hospital."
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, talk about God working every single detail. I mean, our whole journey has been over and over and over. I mean, we would be running out of diapers. We would get down to one diaper and somebody calls and says, "Can you use some large diapers? Can you use some overnight diapers? Can you use some bed pads?" And it was like, it was constant. And food, I mean, everything, every single thing we ever needed, and still to this day. As a matter of fact, I'll put stuff on my grocery list. Like, for instance, last week I had spinach on my grocery list. Well, somebody gave me a whole bunch of, not spinach, but I eat spinach every day, but broccoli. And somebody gave me a ton of broccoli. I mean, they had no idea that that was on my grocery list. I pulled it up in my Sam's at the car.
Right.
But I mean, just over and over again, every single thing I ever need, everything that we needed, God supplied.
He's so amazing.
Oh, it's just,
truly.
I always say I'm amazed, but I shouldn't be because that's our God.
I say that is I'm always God. Amazed, but yeah. I'm never surprised anymore.
Amen.
Never
amen.
Surprised.
Amen, amen. Just me working for release time, mm-hmm. that was a thing. That was a God thing for sure because you got me connected and I was thinking about doing substitute teaching, right? And so one day, Brian Hales, who was over release time in Pickens County, contacts me and said that they're having a board meeting. So would I come to that? And I was like, sure. So I go to that and I meet everybody and all this. And I'm thinking, yeah, that I could do some substitute teaching for them. So then I'm going, let's see, it was that summer in May, they contact me and said, "Can you come to another meeting?" And I'm thinking, yeah, sure, I'll go. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, I had already set up to teach at another school. It was a permanent job and I was going to go ahead and take it. Well, I almost didn't go to this meeting. I literally, even as I'm getting dressed, I'm like, why am I using my time to go there? Yeah. So I go to the meeting anyway, and I walk out of there with this job offer. And I told him, I said, "Well, let me think about it." By the time, and I was headed to the grocery store. By the time I got to the grocery store, The Holy Spirit was letting me know for sure, text them right now and say you'll take this job. It was like, okay.
That's wonderful.
So it's like 20 minutes later and I'm, okay, I'll take the job. Same thing with the YMCA. I mean, I was not going to work there. I worked there last summer, which was a God thing too, that I even found out about it. And they wanted me to come in and talk. They hired me, you know, right then. So that was the only year I was going to do that. Mm-hmm. And then Keisha she was texting me in March going, are you coming back? And I was like, I don't know. So by May, I was like, yes, I'll come back. And, you know, it's like, that's where he needs me to be. Mm-hmm. That's where he wants me to be. And I have given up all reins. And I pray this all the time. Your plan, your will, your timing for your glory. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. And I release everything. You tell me where to go. Tell me where to be. You tell me what to do. You show me and lead me every single step. Because if it's my plan or my way, it messes up every time. And so I just release it, let him lead me. And literally, it's like he's got you by the hand, and this is where you're supposed to go. This is the path I've got ready for you. Walk this way. Don't turn to the right or the left. You'll mess up again. So, yeah.
And there's such comfort in that. Oh, you know he's got you.
Absolutely.
And you did the same thing happened with your church situation.
Yes.
You had just joined
East
Pickens Baptist Church, where I attend.
Yes.
And had been there 6 months.
Yeah.
And then we're having
a
revitalization project from East Pickens to help other churches that are struggling.
Yeah.
And
I felt God
leading me
to say yes.
We've partnered with Calumet Baptist Church in Liberty. And so now Linda's down there teaching those kids and walking hand in hand while God carries you through it all.
Yeah. And I've got the most amazing Sunday school class. And we recently had a fundraiser for release time. I just walk into class one day and they said, we've got this idea. And little did we know, you know, I was hoping that we'd get enough so I could paint the classroom, you know, for release time. And oh my goodness, as always, God went above and beyond. And we raised over $1,100 in 4 hours. Just this little Sunday school class with a little bit of stuff that we brought. And it's all God. It's,
absolutely.
That will enable several kids to attend release time at Liberty Middle School.
That's wonderful.
As a matter of fact, if you want a mission to help out, you know, contact release time for Pickens County. It's across the street from the hospital, Piedmont Baptist Association. Mm-hmm. And that's who you can contact to donate or volunteer or even be a substitute teacher.
Are they affiliated with Christian
learning
centers?
Yeah, that is us. Yeah, Pickens County Christian Learning Center.
Okay. There's probably also information on their website.
Yes.
Christian Learning Centers.
Yeah, Pickens County Christian Learning Center.
Yeah, so you can find out more there.
Go to that website and then look for release time.
What a worthwhile program.
Oh, yeah.
It's where they actually take the students out of the classroom to a local church.
6 classes a day. We pick them up for Liberty. We pick them up at Liberty Middle School. It takes us 2 minutes to get to First Baptist Church in Liberty. And we have a classroom there. And they learn more about the Bible. We have 2 different sessions each semester. They learn more about the Bible in that semester than most people do their whole life going to church. They are literally in church every single day, studying God's word, memorizing verses. And it is absolutely amazing to see these kids' lives change.
And there's been a lot of children come to faith in Christ through that program.
We've had so many be saved.
Yes. That's awesome.
Absolutely amazing.
Awesome program.
Great
ministry for you to donate to. And Linda is also the leader of our Grace in the Wilderness caregiver group.
Yes.
It's called Wings of Hope, and you can find that on Facebook. If you're a caregiver and if you're interested in becoming part of a support group, Linda leads that and she provides encouragement. It's a private Facebook group. And if you'll go on Google and search Wings of Hope, a GITW, Grace in the Wilderness, support group for caregivers. That's Wings of Hope, a GITW, support group for caregivers. Then you can click to join that group, and it will ask you just a couple of questions, and then you can be added to that. I invite you to be a part of that, because Linda is, she really has a heart for the caregivers and has through all these many years.
I know the struggle they go through.
Yeah, she understands. And like I always say about our support groups, nobody understands like somebody who understands that's walking through that.
Amen.
So check her out. I'll put that in our show notes, the link to that Facebook page. And we'd love to invite you to be a part of that. Also, you can, if you'd like to contact us for prayer, Linda or myself, mm-hmm. you can go to SharonHawkins.net and click the contact tab and just enter your information and we'll reach out to you. We'd love to pray with you, pray Absolutely. For you. Caregiving is a hard and lonely mm-hmm. journey.
24/7. Mm-hmm. 24/7. When I was going through all that, when I was taking care of David, I literally knew how many nights of sleep I had. Mm-hmm. And when he passed away 11 years later, it was, I think, 217 nights of sleep in 11 years and 3 months that I had gotten. That wow. I could lay down and know that I could go to sleep all night. Wow.
And what kept you going through all that?
It was God. Yeah. And so many people would go, how in the world do you do this? How do you have the strength to do it? And I would say, it's God. If it was me, I'd be in a corner somewhere going, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this. Mm-hmm. But it was God that gave me the strength and the endurance. Mm-hmm. There's no other explanation. There is no other way. I mean.
So if you are a caregiver and you're feeling lonely and like no one cares, reach out to Linda. Mm-hmm. Reach out to our group. But more importantly, Absolutely. Reach out to God. Amen. If you don't have him in your life, you know, he never promised it would be easy, but he promised he would never leave us or forsake us. And it's amazing the things that he can carry us through, just the unspeakable.
Yes.
He has done that for me, for you, for so many others that have shared with the interviews for our group. His grace is free. God sent his only son, Jesus, to die for us.
Amen.
And through the shedding of his blood, he's made it possible for us to have a way to live in heaven with him and for us to be saved. And not just saved to go to heaven, but saved for every day of our lives so that we can get through.
Absolutely.
And he helps us. He's always there. He's just a whisper, a thought, a prayer away.
Absolutely. And let me add, Trammell, in 2020, when the whole world was falling apart, God sent him his one true love. And I always say, while the world was falling apart, they were falling in love. And he was blessed to absolutely fall in love with the most wonderful young lady. And they just celebrated their second anniversary.
Wow. God's good.
Amen.
All the time.
Yes.
And all the time.
God is good.
Right. He absolutely is. Thank you so much for being with us, Linda. This has been such a blessing. I know that there's someone out there that really needed to hear this,
yes.
whether they hear it when this first goes out yes. or years down the road. That's the one thing I love about podcasts. It's always there.
Amen.
And God has a way of leading us to what we need when we need it.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much. You are such a blessing to me. You've been my dear friend for many years, and I appreciate your taking the time to come and talk with us today. For those of you who her story has touched, because so many of these things or some part of these things has happened to you, just know that God is always there. Mm-hmm. He has been the rock that's carried her through all these years, and that you can always find grace in your wilderness with God. Thank you for listening to this episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. May God lead you safely through your wilderness as you trust Him, and may His river of grace always flood your desert times. He is doing a new thing. Let's not miss it. Subscribe or follow to make sure you don't miss a single episode. See you here next time.